While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I guess if we had a subject this morning, it would be eternity. I believe that this is one of the most solemn and heart-searching subjects probably in the Bible. It's a subject that we dare not neglect. I believe it's a subject that we all must look into. And it's a subject that we dare not look into without the Bible in our hands. The moment we depart from God's Word in considering eternity and our future state, we're going to go into error. The only way that we can find out anything about eternity is to look into the Word of God and see what thus saith the Scriptures. And so that's what we want to do this morning. The first thing that I'd like to bring forth this morning and notice is that we live in a world where all things are temporal and passing away. Everything around us is decaying. Everything around us is dying and coming to an end. And we see also that beauty is only temporal. Beauty is only temporal. In the book of Genesis, chapter 23, we'd like to read a verse there concerning Sarah. In Genesis 23, and let us notice verse 4. I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I might bury my dead out of my sight. So Sarah was once probably the fairest of women, and the admiration of the Egypt court. But there came a day when Abraham said, "Let me bury my dead out of my sight." In the book of Proverbs, chapter 31 and verse 10, or verse 30, it says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." There's nothing prettier than a godly woman. A godly mother, a godly grandmother, a young lady. I believe millions of dollars are spent on trying to hang on to beauty. We look at pictures when people are young. And when we say, "My, she was pretty." But man, he was handsome. You had hair back then. You know, I hear that a lot. They look at my picture sometimes back when I was in high school and so on. But a lot of money is spent on trying to hang on to beauty. Our bodies, I believe, are in the process of decaying. They're in the process of dying. They're in the process of coming to an end. We was talking about that a little bit earlier before service. And so we see that beauty is just temporal. It's just temporal. Strength of body is only temporal. David was one that was a mighty man of war. He was a slayer of the lion, slayer of the bear. He was a champion of Israel against Goliath. But a day came when David had to be nursed and ministered to as a little child. And so strength of body is only temporal. Brother Adrian and I was talking about that. A couple of the other brothers were talking about that earlier. I used to be able to get in the back end of the pickup and jump out of the pickup. Well, I didn't think a minute about it. But I'll be 60 next couple of weeks, and I jump out of the back of a pickup now, and it jars every bone in my body. Can't do that. I can hardly do that anymore. And so, we hear the statement a lot of times, why he can work circles around you. You know? Or work is all he knows. Or he's the strongest, roughest fellow around. And we used to say that a lot about my brother, and he was. But he's not now. And so, strength of body is only temporal. You may have the very best of health now. But that's only temporal. It's only temporal. And so, we think that, we say those things, never stopping to realize that we're facing eternity. You're facing eternity. Regardless of how pretty you may be, regardless of how strong you may seem to be, you are facing eternity. One day that strength is going to be weakened. And people admit every day, I'm not as strong as I used to be. Not as strong as I used to be. And probably the biggest part of us here this morning could probably say that. Not as strong as we used to be. We can't do what we used to do. Brother Jerry's been laying the tile over there, and he's getting up and down on his knees for a while, and then he'd get up and work a little bit doing something else. And I bet if he said it once, he said it 20 times. Boy, I can't do what I used to do. I'm not as fast at this as I used to be. And so we're all facing eternity. Strength of body is only temporal. Beauty is only temporal. Wisdom and power of our brains are only temporal. Solomon was a man of great knowledge. All the kings of the earth came to Solomon to hear his wisdom. And so we often have our senior moments, as they call them today, for us that are over 40 probably. But we see in his latter years, he played the fool exceedingly. And he allowed his wives to turn away his heart from following the Lord. And so, the houses that we live in, the homes that we love, the riches that we accumulate, the possessions that we have, the plans that we form, this is all just temporal. It's all just temporal. You say, I have a beautiful house. That's only temporal. You may have paid $200,000 for it. It's only temporal. Our homes are only temporal. We're all not going to be together forever. Unless you're saved by the grace of God. All the money that we may have, you may have $500,000 in the bank. It's only temporal. It's only temporal. You're not going to take it into eternity with you. It's only temporal. And so, the plans that we have, and no doubt we're all time planning. Boy, when I'm 65, this is what I'm going to do. And we work toward that end. But we need to look toward that end with eternity in view. We need to realize that one of these days, every single one of us are going to have to face the Lord. You're either going to have to face Him at the great white throne judgment or the judgment seat of Christ. But we need to realize that these things are only temporal. And so I believe, no doubt, we're living in this world without eternity in view. May we awake and see the things in their true light this morning. The things that you live for now are all just temporal and passing away. We cannot keep these things that are temporal. One of these days, we must let loose of them. May God grant us the grace to remember these two verses in Colossians chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, He says, "Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth." We're working our fingers to the bones for the things of the earth. And forgetting all about the things of eternity. How that our lives can honor and glorify and please the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And when we awake every morning, we ought to have eternity in view. The things of the Lord in view. Lord, how can I please You today? How can I honor You and glorify You with my life today? And that's the way it ought to be with our life. Every day that we awake in our service for the Lord throughout the week and we come to the house of God, it ought to be the same. Lord, how can I honor You? How can I glorify You today with my life? The talents that you have today, you need to be using them for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You need to use them today. We can't turn our talents on and off and use them whenever we want to use them. We need to use them for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, He says, And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Brother, that's permanent. That's not temporal. It's going to abide forever. We that are saved have our trials. We have our crosses. We have our conflicts. We have our sorrows and our pain. But praise God, they're only temporal. They're only temporal. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know. And we know. How do we know? We know by experience. You're saved by the grace of God. You know by experience. That all things... What does that mean? In the Greek, it means all things. All things. Work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I got to thinking about that verse one day. And then I thought about this verse over here in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, and he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now notice those all things there. That's the same all things that he's talking about in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. He worketh all things, according to the purpose of His own will. Isn't that great? Isn't that comforting to know that? And he means all things. We may not understand it. A lot of things that he permits, a lot of things that he has ordained to come to pass. But they all work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are the called according to His purpose. And we need to keep that in mind, because if we don't, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get down as low as a snake's belly, I guess. The belly of a snake, I guess. If we don't keep those things in mind. And so, we see that all of these things, the conflicts we may have, the cross we bear, the trials, the suffering, the pain that we may have, one of these days, they're soon going to end. They're soon going to end. And we need to realize that they are working for us. They are working for us, never against us. Always working for us, never against us. And it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, as we see there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. And so one of these days, our cross is going to be exchanged for a crown. My next thought is, we are all going towards a world where everything is eternal. Where everything is eternal. That great unseen state of existence which lies beyond the grave is forever. There won't be any change. There won't be any decay. No end. No goodbyes. No mornings and evenings. No alterations. Whatever there is beyond the tomb, when the last trumpet is sounded and the dead are raised, it'll be endless, everlasting, eternal. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you thankful that you know that that is true? The future happiness of us who are saved is eternal. However, little that we may understand it, it is something which has no end. Think about eternity sometime, it blows my mind. But it is something that has no end. It'll never cease. Never grow old. Never decay. Never die. There'll be no more partings. No more family separation. Unless you're lost. And he says in Thessalonians, comfort one another with these words. So those that are saved by the grace of God, we have a lot to be thankful for. You need to pause right this moment and just say, Lord, thank You for saving my soul. Thank You that one of these days I'm going to live with You in eternity forever and ever and ever. And I was going to say throughout eternity, but there's no throughout. Forever and ever and ever. One of these things, one of these days, everything that we believe and everything that we have practiced is going to be in a reality. It's going to be just bliss and happiness and joy forever and ever and ever. The future misery of those who are finally lost is also eternal. People don't want to think about this thought. But eternal future happiness and eternal future misery stand side by side. We cannot distinguish the duration of one from the duration of the other. If the joy of the saved is forever, the sorrow of the unbeliever is also forever. If heaven is eternal, so is hell. Say, well, I really haven't thought about that. You don't want to think about that. And the devil doesn't want you to think about that. In the book of Mark, turn with me back here to the book of Mark, chapter 9. Mark, chapter 9. And verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He said the fire is not quenched about four or five times right there in those few verses. Hell is forever. Hell is eternal. There is definitely going to be suffering in hell. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. He was suffering. He was in torment. But the devil doesn't want you to think about eternity. He doesn't want you to think about what's going to be going on in hell. He wants you to think that that's just a fairy tale. That is something that is not real. But it is real, my friend. In Matthew chapter 25, in Matthew chapter 25, and let us notice verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into ever righteous into life eternal. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This is God's Word. And this is His warning to you this morning that are lost without Christ as your personal Savior. And I must teach you this. I must preach this. Our state in the unseen world of eternity depends entirely on what we are in time. You say, I'll take care of that when I get there. No, you won't. It'll be too late. It'll be too late. So our state in the unseen world of eternity depends entirely on what we are right now. Are you saved? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved this morning? That you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Listen this morning, it's not worth it to fake it. Make your calling and election sure. It's not going to do you any harm to do that. It'll benefit you. It'll help you. Be sure that you're saved by the grace of God. We are all going to have to face eternity. Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved right now? Or did you just walk the aisle because Sally walked the aisle? Or because Billy walked the aisle? That has happened over and over and over and over and over. Be sure that you're saved by the grace of God. What we sow in this life, we shall reap after death and reap to all eternity. There is no repentance in the grave. There is no conversion after your last breath is drawn. It'll be too late. Now is the time to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the time to make your calling and election sure. May God grant us the grace this morning to live for eternal things. Sinner friend, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Where is it going to be? May the Lord help us this morning to live with eternal things in view. Let's not get all wrapped up in this old world. And we all like to have nice things. We all like to have nice homes and nice house and beautiful car to drive and all of that. But I believe we can sometimes get too wrapped up in those temporal things. And we lose sight of the eternal things of God. Lord, help us. There's nothing more important for us to think about than the things of the Lord. Nothing more important. So temporal things are just passing away. They're not going to benefit us a whole lot as far as eternity goes. So do you have the eternal things in view? I don't know your heart this morning, but I know one that does. You're here lost without Christ, trusting. Trusting. He'll save your soul. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you in some other way. I don't know. But we're here today. All of us are here, enjoying the blessings of the Lord. You know, we only have a promise of a right now. We don't have a promise of another day. We don't have a promise of another week. We don't have a promise of another month. We don't have a promise of another year. The only thing that you have is right now. You need to think about eternity today, right now. Right now. Be sure that you're saved now. Let's all stand and have a song, an invitation. The Lord has spoken to you. You say, "Well, Brother Jones, I haven't thought about this. I haven't thought about this subject of eternity." Maybe the Lord has spoken to you this morning. You'd like to come, trust Him. Can you come this morning trusting Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, and trusting Him as your Lord and Savior?